They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
Why in the world am I sitting back and being quiet about this?
Matt Hayes.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous.
And Leon Searcy.
If you can't hang with the big dogs, stay on the porch.
Today, we get it rocking and rolling. XL Primetime, the 2 o'clock hour, the Toopers, the XL Primetimers. We appreciate all y'all just keeping the radio on throughout the day. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM, the apps, however you find us, that's for sure. Now, we're loaded up on YouTube, so we're streaming right out of the gate, and we have four smiling faces. Big Sirs, of course. You know, you love him. You're used to seeing him, the big man. And then Maddie, who... It's a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Matt. Let's just be honest here, okay? The MyBookie Digital Studios, they kind of go – they Matt was shocked when I said that. Absolutely shocked when I said that. It's still it's a little bit of – they love Leon, but it's a little bit of a love-hate with you. Is it not – that's not true?
I don't know why.
No,
I mean I get you don't want to hear the truth. All right, fine.
Right,
I'll just be a candies and nuts guy. Okay,
no,
I run around and shake pom poms. Okay,
I was trying to give you the credit that you deserve, and then Coach Campo to his right, just the smiling face that he. But isn't it true? When we talked about this in the pre-show, I mean, I know that he's got to do his job, but yeah, a little bit of a love-hate relationship.
Listen, you can't have a bunch of cheerleaders on a show, especially when you got four people there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody's got to be the voice of reason that jumps in there. And there he is right there, Matt Hayes.
All right, so he will wear that cape
proudly.
Or mantra proudly. It doesn't matter. That's for sure. All right, Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota, they bring you today's show. You can definitely hang out with them. They are there to wow you when it comes to looking at the full lot of tremendous selections, SUVs, trucks, beautiful sedans, economy cars, whatever you might want. You can definitely shop on both lots. Beautiful Chevy lineup, the beautiful Toyota lineup. Go to BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com to start shopping. And then, of course, BeaverChevrolet.com. And then head to the lot. Now, we got to head to the association before we get into some Jaguar football. And last night, Leon, I know you're an NBA fan. RJ with his Oven Gym show on Sundays, he's definitely an NBA fan. And we're sitting here talking a little bit about what Jamal Murray did last night. We got two games that we can look back on. Obviously, the Timberwolves are sending a major message in the association to the Denver Nuggets. And then you got Jamal Murray doing his thing.
Well, I don't know if I'm an NBA. I tolerate the NBA when the Lakers aren't in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I just tolerate it. But yesterday I watched a little old school basketball. Hopefully I was going to get something like that. And the Knicks, Indiana, was back in my day with Reggie Miller and Patrick Ewing and all the John Starks and all those kind of guys. So I was looking to embrace the nostalgic of being in Madison Square Garden watching the Knicks play the basketball game. So it was a good game. A couple of questionable fouls towards the end, but nevertheless, I think it was a good game. The second game, it was a nightmare. Absolutely. The T-Wolves, they're younger. They're longer, they're quicker, they're more athletic, they defend well, they crash the boards, and they shoot. And Ant-Man is a dog.
Yeah.
He is a straight-up dog. No lap dog here. He is a straight-up pit bull.
Yeah,
I like the way he plays. He frustrated the Nuggets. They frustrated the Nuggets the whole game. Yeah. There was never a time where I felt the Nuggets could make a comeback.
Proper description, because he was a bulldog, and now he is a bulldog on the court. That's for sure. Anthony Edwards is some kind of good. But going back to the first game, Jalen Brunson once again goes off, gets 40-plus points, has done some unbelievable things. Still makes a few mistakes here or there, but that was a great game, great back and forth. And then you mentioned either the foul calls or the officiating, whatever. Bottom line is there were two major plays officials screwed up. You can argue whether they should have called a moving screen, and you can also argue whether they should have called that was a kick ball when it really wasn't. They had to admit afterwards that they blew the call on what they thought was a kick ball. It was not. It was a hand that touched the basketball. They blew it, and those were two costly moments, negative to the Pacers, plus to the Knicks. And you could say inside the Garden they wanted to make sure that the Knicks got out and got the dub. You can argue it that way if you want, but it was just not a good look. All right, now to the Jamal Murray piece. RJ, I don't know if you have the sound right now, but Jamal Murray is sitting courtside. All right, go ahead and play it just so we can set this up. Bottom line, he throws a heating pad onto the court.
And Jamal Murray –
Look right above that State Farm sign right there. It was a heat pack thrown by Jamal that is what came on the floor here. You see the official Mark Davis looking back.
All right, so anybody who was watching last night or maybe has seen it on social media, you can see he's spotlighted. He heaves it onto the court. He could have been trying to toss it at an official. He could have been tossing it in anger. He could have been tossing it over fan. You could come up with any logic whatsoever, but we will set up our expo very simply. Should he be suspended for throwing something onto the court? Now, Matt, jump in, because here's a guy who is sitting courtside, and this ain't too deep into the game either, and does what he does. And the next thing you know, you're seeing a heating pad sitting on the court.
So right out of the gate, I'm just going to reiterate. I'm so tired of the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of the whining, the complaining, every trip down the court, the flopping.
It is kind of funny, though. I watched the game last night. I didn't see that.
I love Anthony Edwards. I think Anthony Edwards is about as close to someone being, you know, in the Jordan stratosphere as anyone. He's unreal. Unreal. Unreal, and I can't wait to watch him till his career ends. I think he's only going to get better. The rest of it, I mean, this is what the NBA has become. You ready for this? This is Mark Davis, the crew chief from that game last night, okay? Mm-hmm. This is his quote. For an ejection, you would have to determine it was thrown directly at somebody versus thrown in frustration. So it's okay to throw crap on the floor.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. It should
player,
not be.
But it's got to be at somebody before they kick you out.
Yeah.
And they wonder why these guys do this. Because there's no consequence for any of this crap.
Well, just for fairness sake, I can't recall the last time I remember a player throwing something onto the court. Okay?
I know, but I'm not.
So this doesn't happen all the time.
I'm putting all the stuff into it, okay?
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
All right? It's all – if you don't get a holding and get your arms around the idea of this of these guys basically running this league, which they totally are. There's no doubt about that. It then bleeds onto the court during the games, and then they feel like they can run the games.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I love calling you Gran Torino, but this does sound like Gran Torino. Because
Dave?
This is
let's let Dave and Leon see what they happen every night.
Coach
Leon?
Campo.
Well, first of all I can say is if somebody throws something on the court, they ought to be suspended.
Yes.
Or at least thrown out of the game or whatever, suspended, whatever it is. I can't believe Leon said earlier when we were talking, he said, I don't even know what goes in the mind of a guy that would throw something out on the court or the field or whatever.
In any sport, much less the NBA.
So as a coach, I would have to say that the answer to the question you asked, yes, he should be suspended.
And would you handle it? Mm-hmm. Would you handle it instead of letting the league handle it?
Well, I'd like to handle it myself, you know, because I don't like it to get out there amongst people that aren't directly involved with what's going on.
Right.
But whatever the rule is, there's got to be a rule in the league, although Matt doesn't think there are any rules now. There's got to be a rule that says you can't throw something out on the court, whether it's at somebody
or not at somebody. Let me know when you find a rule, okay?
Yeah, maybe there isn't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He should be suspended. Not only by – he should be fined by his team, and he should be suspended by the league. He should get double. The Nuggets, because it's embarrassing. You're on the sideline heating up. You throw a heating pad on wherever you did, out of frustration at the ref or whatever. The fact that it slid onto the court and nobody hit it. I mean, a guy kicked it, but nobody fell. And
pretty lucky.
Someone could have tore a knee, ankle, anything with that kind of – it's childish, foolish. What you need to do is, instead of throwing heat pass, get back there and play some defense, try to score some points. Mm-hmm. Because the T-Wolves was smothering you all the first half. You couldn't even score any points. I think he scored, four, whatever it was.
Well, here's the classic.
Leon, let me ask you this. Let me ask Leon real quick. As a former player in a professional sport, if you don't get your arms around something about – a problem in any sport, any association, whatever it is eventually going to bleed into the game, onto the court, onto the field. Will it not?
Yeah, you got to fix it. You got to send a message clearly that can't happen. Anything. You throw anything
on
the field.
And it will affect the product, will it not?
The same way when a fight breaks out, if anybody leaves the bench, guess what happens? They get suspended, they get fined, or they get tossed out the game. Same thing, you can't throw nothing on the court. If you're on the sideline, you're throwing stuff on the court. No,
this isn't Gran Torino, Joe. This is in the words of George Costanza, we're living in a society, Right?
Yeah. Joe, you knew that was coming.
Oh, I know it. Because this is my new name for him when he does this, because he makes it sound like this is a routine occurrence. It is not. We do not have this happening all the time. I'm thinking of one of the games that Leon was in when they started heaving bottles out of Brown Stadium because of what happened with Zeus and the official. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, I was
on
the sideline.
You know, it's crazy. We've lost control, yada, yada, yada. Stuff like that doesn't happen all the time. This doesn't happen all the time. Do something with Jamal Murray. And I love the one thing, the quote that Matt read is that, you know, you got to prove that he's trying to throw something to somebody. No, you don't. No, you don't. Mm. Especially if you're the team. You can make a decision. And here's the other thing that gets me just a little bit. Bro was not getting busted by the officials for the entire game. This wasn't 4 minutes to go in the fourth. This was 4 minutes to go in the second. And that's when he lost his cool. All right, RJ, just set it up on X because it is a simple yes or no.
Absolutely. Our X poll question brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Chevrolet and Beaver Toyota. Should Jamal Murray be suspended for tossing the heating pad onto the court? Look us up on X. Just search at 1010XL and give us your vote. And Joe, I'll add to this. If Patrick Beverly, which we all assume is going to get a suspension for next season after throwing a ball at a fan, I think Jamal Murray should get some sort of reprimand for his antics.
Let's ask sub 30, open gym. RJ.
Yeah.
RJ, should he be suspended?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if everybody across national media and even I myself are saying that, hey, listen, if Patrick Beverly is throwing a ball at a fan and he's saying that was out of frustration, whatever the case may be, I think he should get a suspension for that. What would you be saying as a league if you don't do something with Jamal Murray for throwing a heating pack, even though it may have not hit anybody? That's just something that you can't do as a league. Stern would have gotten in the way of this, I mean, probably after the game and said, like, we're going to look into this, and he's probably going to get a one-game suspension for this. So if they don't do anything, I'd be surprised.
Right. Like, at this point, that just happened, needs to come out that says he needs to be suspended. And let's just make it clear, I ain't arguing for him not to be suspended.
Yeah.
I think he should be suspended. That's how I'm setting this discussion up. But I'm just saying this doesn't happen all the time.
By the way, Patrick Beverly's, his antics
bled
over into locker room post-game when he went after – a 30-year veteran female reporter.
Yeah.
Right? So you could say it doesn't bleed over in other places, but it absolutely does. When you don't get your arms around something, it becomes problematic in other areas.
That I'll agree with. I got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But now you can go to X. Just let us know which way you think it should go.
Gran Torino. Come on.
Yeah, it is the truth, man.
You can suck it.
Because
you
sit there and you tell me. I watched the games last night, and I'm telling you, I see nothing but athleticism and art and shot making and a lot of – it may not be as good as it was back in the day, but at the same time, it's still pretty good. There is not a whole lot of I do remember guys back in the day complaining about calls from officials. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Well, listen, this is how you get a hold of it before it bleeds over, like Matt was saying. Mm-hmm. The best way to affect a player is his time, his money, in his pockets.
Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
Just money.
Players don't like not playing. Players don't like not playing either. Now, if they get the love to compete, if you keep their inability to play for games, if you can affect that as well, that's troubling to a player.
Especially playoff games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but spending him ain't gonna matter anyway. I mean, when he cut, they gonna get swept. I'm sorry, the Nuggets are going down.
Well,
I saw the last couple of nights. The T-Wolves are real.
Here's what's driving me a little crazy is that the Lakers had a chance.
They ain't playing no Lakers.
They led three-fourths of the series. They led three-fourths of those games.
Joe, I'm going to hate to admit this.
The
Lakers are in slow motion, and the T-Wolves are in fast forward.
Yeah, they would have gotten destroyed by Minnesota. My only thing is that it ticks me off that they did put themselves in position to win these games and could not win them. They drew one horseshoe, and they were lucky. They got one.
They got gentleman sweep.
Yeah. And so that's the part that drives you crazy.
Plus, not for nothing, you just saw the soon pass, and he's still a great player, LeBron, against the future, and it would not have looked good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Would not have looked good.
Because you are talking about, if you're talking about heir apparents, and you could easily say that Anthony Edwards might be one of those next guys, Victor Wembanyama, you can have a handful of other guys that you think are ready to step forward and be superstars in this league. And there's no question those guys.
You know what I like about Anthony, mm-hmm. and I'm not a big NBA guy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about him, when people try to compare him to Jordan, he immediately says, ho.
Yeah.
Wait just a minute. That's the greatest player of all time. Don't put me in that category.
Right, yeah.
But you know what he is like, Jordan?
Yeah.
fearless.
Yeah, he is.
He is fearless on the court.
And what's the Adam Sandler movie? The
Hustle.
Yeah, The Hustle. Anthony Edwards plays a great role in that movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a good watch. It really is, that's for sure. All right, so the association, we'll throw it out there. We got a couple of other things that we will get into as far as the NBA is concerned, but we're going to get to the Jags, talk a little bit about the offseason. Coach Campo is here hanging out with us, 641-1010. You guys get the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. A little bit of yesterday is left over today because we were starting to talk about how good this wide receiver room may or may not be. And I want Coach to answer that real quick before we start to set up the rest of what we're doing, because there's going to be a good argument throughout this offseason as to who did more in the offseason, free agency and the draft, to make themselves better. And that's across the board, not just the AFC South, not just the AFC, but the NFL as a whole. What did you think about the discussion that we threw out, the potentially this is one of the – this is the best wide receiver room Trevor has had since he's a Jag. Yay or nay to that?
Well, yeah, I think it is. And the reason I say that is that when you look at Zay Jones and you look at Gabe Davis, when you look at those two guys with what they had done before they came in here, mm-hmm. Gabe Davis has had a better career. You know, it was a little indiscreet what – I don't know if that's even a word, mm-hmm. but it's what Zay had done. Mm-hmm. Now, Zay's a good player. And Zay
yeah,
made some plays.
Nondescript.
Yeah. Excuse me.
He's indiscreet. He, whoo,
yeah,
you never
I changed
know
my major from English to physical education while I was in school. So that answers that question. Uh-huh. Kirk, is he going to be better than last year? Absolutely. Now, I don't know about 2 years ago because he had a great year, but with him healthy, he's who he is, and he's pretty consistent, good. Ingram, I think he'll do exactly what he did this year, okay? Now, the other one is the key with Ridley. Now, Ridley, I thought the Jaguars were really pressure on them because he was tied to draft picks, okay? And they had to try to get him to be better than he was, to be honest with you, because of those picks. And it took him time. He was inconsistent. He just – you know, for whatever reason, he didn't live up to what they had hoped he did.
Right.
Because we saw in preseason that he was capable of making some outstanding plays.
Yeah.
But that's what it was, an outstanding play here, a bad play there. With Thomas, the club doesn't have any of that pressure. He's a number one pick, but at the same time, he's ours.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Jaguars.
Right.
So all he has to do is get him in a position to do what they want him to do, and that's get him up the field, make him, you know, have him make some plays down the field. And so, to me, I think it has a chance. But when you really look at it, you won't know until you get him on the field.
Yeah.
But I just think that this group together is better than what they had.
All right, so let's set that up going into the next seg, because one thing's for sure, Calvin flashed, but we didn't see everything that, like you just described, all of Duval was hoping for. Can Brian Thomas take those defenders down the field and open up this offense? So let's get into that. Something that Gibby played in the update as well, Andre Sisco, he's now one of the second guys that has been in a recent draft class saying he needs to up his leadership. So let's play that soundbite coming up, and let's get into some Jag talk. It's XL Primetime. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota, they are hanging out with us. It is a beautiful day. We got Coach Campo hanging out with us, so you hang out with us as well on XL Primetime.
XL Primetime's Coach Dave Campo is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Online at boldcityac.com. The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
For me, it's about just completing my game, going to my fourth year. It's kind of like, you know, you think about like a senior year of high school. Like, you're supposed to know what to do now. You're supposed to do everything right. You're supposed to show other guys. So I'm looking to be a leader and just like I said, take the next step.
This is XL Primetime. Brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Cracking along on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Thanks to Florida Home. Don't forget, if it just happened, like some of our that just happened, that AC goes bust, get in touch with Florida Home AC. All right, listen, just like that energy coming out of RJ's jukebox, you heard what Andre Sisco had to say. Sisco said he's looking to be a leader. And so I got to ask this question as we go around here on XL Primetime. He mentioned his fourth year, Leon.
Yeah.
you better believe you better be stepping up and being a leader.
I can tell you exactly what that tells me is that Cisco listened to a lot of old heads that were running their mouth but weren't competing, and he kept quiet. So now he says, listen, I got the credentials now. I'm going to start speaking my voice because I told you there was something wrong in that locker room. They lose all them type of games right there, and you got a bunch of old heads in there who are running their mouth about what we need to be doing and ain't getting it done. Yeah. And then the young cats are being quiet because, you know, they're just showing seniority. Hey, he's the older guy. I give him that respect. But now these young cats saying, look, we can't have what we had last year. We can't have that kind of meltdown.
Yahtzee.
We had Devin Lloyd in here. He said the same thing. Man, I got to be a lot more vocal. That's another young guy.
Yeah.
I'd be more vocal. I got to say my piece when things ain't right. And that's good because if they got the credentials and your play speaks volumes, then you can run your mouth. But you can't run your mouth if your play ain't no good because we're going to just look at you crazy.
I love this. I absolutely love this offseason that these guys are now starting to find their voices.
Yeah.
They need Trevor to find his voice. They need Christian Kirk to find his voice. Publicly, not just in the locker room, publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying this all the time, and I know you guys look at me like, well, you don't know what they're saying inside. Like, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling people out publicly. There's nothing wrong with that. It gives you, like, their chance to say, all right, I can look in the mirror and point and say, okay, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying somebody else is the problem.
Yeah, call me out in the locker room. You call me out in the public, I might be at your street corner.
Well, you know what, then?
I'm just saying, you might be a little
SOF without the T2.
No, ain't nothing soft over here.
Yeah, because it's a fine line. You don't name too many guys that get called out too often.
That's the key. In other words, going publicly, you're not – talking about individuals.
I'm talking about the team.
Oh, you're talking about the team.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
No problem with that.
Trevor did that, and we've gone down that road. He flat out called himself out and called the team out.
Yep. And I'll tell you
and
what.
So did Doug.
Deion Sanders that played for me, if anything went wrong, the first thing he did was go publicly and say, hey, it's not the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. We're out there playing. That's our responsibility to get things done. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're both saying the same thing. It's just, you know, the young guys have got to take a little whatever it is that they're part of this
whole ownership.
Hey, and get in there and get after it a little bit.
By the way, Deion could use a little diplomacy these days.
Well, I love Deion. I love Deion, but at the same time, you know, he is – one of the reasons that I was a little concerned with him coming was that I wasn't sure he was a team player. He was.
Yeah.
And that's what you need is you need a bunch of team players that aren't really worried about themselves. They're worried about winning games, and I don't think we had that.
To be fair to Deion, he's playing by the rules. The rules are you can do whatever you want with your roster.
Yeah, it's just a little –
he's playing by the rules.
Yeah, it's just a little rough when he says, first time I see you, I'm not going to see you again.
No,
you're out of
here. I get it. I understand what you're saying. I understand why the guy was upset. I get all that.
Yeah.
I understand why people were mad because his son said the kid was mid. Yeah. Whatever. All I'm telling you is he's playing by the rules. The rules are there.
And by the way, he was hired by Colorado not to win 3 out of every 12 games. And so that I get. That part I get.
I don't know if we're on a different tangent now.
Yeah,
When I went to college, the first meeting we had, we're sitting there, and the head coach said, look to your right, look to your left.
Yeah.
One of those guys is not going to be there. So if you're going to compete, you're going to compete. That's the great thing about it.
I was in that meeting, by the way.
He's telling you he's recruiting over you.
The best thing that ever happened to me when I was at Miami that Jimmy Johnson taught me about the business of ball.
Yeah.
The business of ball. And this is what these kids aren't used to. Now with the NIL money and eventually going to get paid and stuff like that, coaches ain't going to have time to coddle you. You've been coddled all your life. You've been pampered. You've been birthed. You've been laid down to rest. Mm-hmm. All right? Now it's about the business of ball. So now you can't sit in front of coaches that say, coach, you know, this school offered me $250. You know, what you got? And then come back the next day and say, well, you know, I was treated unfair. You know, I didn't get what – no, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't be a dog and a puppet.
I just understand. I do understand Deion was hired to not win 3, but to lose 3 and win 9. I get all that. There's just a certain way of leading.
Yeah.
And you're the highest ranking guy in the room, so kind of act like it sometimes. At least that's a little bit of what I feel with Deion. All right, back to Cisco. So let's mention this real quick. So Cisco's a 4-year guy. He is going into that salad year, as you like to describe it, Leon. Mm-hmm. It's a contract year. So is a couple of other guys. Named Trevor Lawrence, Walker Little, a handful of these other
Bryson
guys.
Campbell,
but Devin Lloyd's a third-year guy. So now you've got third- and fourth-year guys. So, Coach, back to you as far as, you know, a year further along in your development to what Leon said. They've got to take ownership and accountability of the room.
Well, I think that that's something that Doug Peterson has been preaching now for about 2 months, whenever they started OTAs. So,
right.
I mean, not OTAs, but it's been a month, right, workouts, since they started the workouts.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he's been preaching that from day one. Guys, we need to take accountability for what happened. I don't like to look back. I like to look forward, but guess what? You know, we have to take accountability for what happened, and we got to make sure that never happens again, period. And he's got a little egg on his face now because he came out and said, hey, it's my job to make sure. That's after the first year, the 9-8. He said, I've got to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Well, it did. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's my responsibility is right. You got to make sure you got the right guys in that locker room, and that's what I think they tried to do going out and get some guys.
I remember it to this day. When I was with the Steelers, me and Kirkland came into – we came in the league together, 92, whatever. And I remember when Kirkland grew into being that leader. I was on the sideline. I specifically remember – now, I may have mentioned this. He had – in his huddle, he had Woodson, Carnell Lake, Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, right? And I remember LeVon Kirkland telling those guys, hey, shut up. I got to make the calls. You know, I mean, that you know, you said that at the front.
Normally you're like,
yeah,
you
know
control.
What I'm saying? But this was like his third year. It was both our third year. And I remember when he said that, I was like, okay, now in their eyes, he's a leader.
Right.
Because if you could tell those guys, shut up and listen, because I got to make the calls in that huddle at that particular time, he's letting you know, okay, I respect you, old heads, but I'm the leader here. I'm the middle linebacker. I make the calls. Everybody be quiet.
And Foyer, like, he didn't have those old heads necessarily in that huddle, but he had a little bit of what you're describing at the end of last year when he said he's the one who spoke up. Things have got to change. We have got to act as a unit. And then let's go back to one of the other things that we were talking about, the fact that they didn't know about their alignments. That is a bad, bad, bad sign.
I didn't. Go ahead, Leon.
That bothers me a little bit because I don't believe that. I don't believe it. The Jaguars said that I don't believe it. Here's the reason why I don't believe it. So the Mike Caldwell, who's a linebackers coach for a Super Bowl championship team, the first thing you work, coaches say, first thing you do is work on alignment. You work on where you're supposed to be, where your gaps, your rush lanes, and all that kind of stuff. I just think that it may be a cop-out.
Maybe.
It may be a cop-out because just like AD, when they lose, he go in there and say, oh, there's a lot of times out there we didn't know what we was doing. Really? Really? You really didn't know what you were doing? So you're telling me now that you're telling me now, it upsets me because what you're doing is you're passing the buck. You're throwing all the blame on why y'all lost games down the stretch because y'all weren't aligned well. And that's the first thing you work on when you're in practice. When you're in training camp or mini camp. You line up right. That's the reason why those trash cans are there. Those trash cans are there because the defensive guys are by the trash cans and y'all working on what? Alignment.
0%, he said.
Whoever said, I don't believe him. I don't believe him. Well, the reason why I don't believe him because instead of you saying, hey, guess what? You know what, coach? Reason why we got beat down the stretch is because we were soft and got manhandled.
Right.
I guess they weren't in the right alignment when the Tennessee Titans last game of the season were everything on the line.
Yeah.
All right, the playoff and the division on the line, the worst offensive line in the NFL who couldn't fight their way out of the wet paper bag ran up and down the field on you, blocked y'all all day long and gave up 155 yards.
Must be
somebody else. That bothers me that you would pile on to a guy who's not here who happened to win a Super Bowl and they didn't leave no alignment when they dissembled the Kansas City Chiefs.
In the words of Flair, what you got.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I got to remember what you got.
I am glad you're saying that because we don't know where the truth truly lies. We know that a lot of
I believe the guy who said to the coach, but whoever said it, I don't believe him. I don't believe that coach, because the first thing you work on, coach will tell you, y'all work on alignments.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is I think that the number one, if they didn't know where they were supposed to line up, they weren't paying attention. That's number one. Now, as far as the coaching staff teaching them, that's another matter. You know, in other words, if Devin Lloyd, I think, is a perfect example. The first year, he didn't look like he knew where he was, anywhere near where he was supposed to be half the time.
Right.
Well, That's one of two things. They're either not teaching him where to line up, or he doesn't understand the defense, and he's not listening or mm-hmm. not learning or whatever it is.
Or they didn't see his college tape and see him a disruptor all over the field,
yeah.
not covering people.
Yeah.
Instead of putting him this little square peg in the round hole that he's not.
So I think it could be a combination of we just weren't taught what we need to be doing correctly. I don't think alignment specifically was the issue because just like Leon said, I mean, the first thing you do is, okay, if the back's over here, you got to move, you got to be on the guard or, you know, whatever it is. If it's a three technique, it's a three technique. You're on the outside of the guard.
Exactly.
That's
coach,
it. That's
the first thing, Coach, the first day, when y'all go on walkthroughs, that's the first thing you work on is alignments.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think
honestly.
It was, you know what I think it is actually? I think it's more about what you were talking about with the zone coverage pass off, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like when you're passing off in coverage, I think that's probably what they're talking about. They were just told to do that, but they were never shown how to do it.
Yeah, and really, I think the guy throwing out alignment.
And I'm not making excuses for him.
No, no, no.
You know I'm not that type of guy.
You're not an excuse guy. But when you say, well, we didn't know where we were supposed to be lined up, well, that means that somebody wasn't in the right spot. Mm. Well, is that the coach? Is that the player? Whatever. And I think alignment was just something you throw out there. You know, I think they busted coverages.
It might have been
they busted pass-offs. They couldn't play the bunch. They couldn't do this and that. That's coaching as well as playing, but it's a combination of the two.
It always is.
But Coach, that Jaguar said is a slight on y'all because we know how much time and effort y'all put into breaking down film, breaking down this, breaking down that to spoon feed us every day to make sure that we don't make those kind of mistakes.
Right.
When I see alignment, that's why I take me off.
Word becomes coaching.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're a good coach and staff, and when you say alignment, it may not just be a three technique, it may be the entire alignment. Of the secondary, the alignment.
Yeah, it could be the bunch, the bunch
front.
Sets.
You know, the
where
bunch
we weren't
set.
Aligned
how
right.
You, how do you get lined up there? You know, I mean, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, no,
I
know.
That's the catch-all is what it is.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, we could say it could be an excuse, or we're going to find out whether there needed to be improved.
We're
going to
see if this coaching staff gets them lined up where they know their alignments are.
I'll always say coaching and player. It's always a math.
Correct.
My thing is,
you have both.
He was the same coach who was a linebackers coach on the Super Bowl team that dismembered a Kansas City Chief team in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he didn't teach you alignments.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, you guys jump in on that. If you're on YouTube, search 1010XL, MyBookie Digital Studio. You can throw a comment on that because, honestly, it's a great discussion trying to figure out where this team's going to rebuild that defense. A couple years ago, they had a lot of takeaways. They were making things happen. This past year, they sagged mightily late in the year. All right, do that. Text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, 641-1010. You can jump in there. And, of course, on social at 1010XL. It is XL Primetime.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. It's XL Primetime. Brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
All right, we've got plenty from the MyBookie Digital Studios and the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Leadership. It's called leadership. And that definitely has been one of the themes as far as what may or may not have been happening, what needs to happen. One of the comments on the YouTube page is no one's going to do it publicly. Going to what you were saying earlier, Leon, you can't be calling people out over the airwaves or in front of a camera. You can do it inside the locker room. And then like Matt said, you know, you can collectively, including yourself, say, look, we all need to take some blame. So there's different ways you can do this. And we're talking about the Jaguars trying to clean things up in the locker room and on the field.
Yeah, I mean, TC used to do – he never would call out a play. He would call out a group.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, well, the O-line really didn't protect that well, didn't run the ball that well, receiving court needs to do this, this, and that, whatever. He never really pinpointed. But we are – if you're a player, you know. You know if you play well or not.
Yeah.
I mean
– you're taking your cleats off. You either go, I sucked or I balled.
Exactly.
Well, I also think the positive thing is it's a leadership problem. It's not a play – It's not a we don't have the dudes to win at a high level problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like in previous years, it was, you know, from 2021 to who knows how far back, right? Before the 17 season, obviously. So from 18 to 21, it was we don't have the dudes.
Right.
We don't have players. All right? For a majority of the last 15, 20 years, it's we don't have the players. Now you've got the players. Mm-hmm. You just don't got the intangible. You don't have the intangible, the want, the need, the what, you know, it's the old Les Miles saying. You got our players have a lot of want, and that's what it is, right? You got to want it, Dave.
Yeah. Well, all I know is at the end of the year last year, the whole dynamic has to change. And it, to me, it was one of those things where the team became so enamored with themselves that they thought, we're okay. We'll win next week.
Like the
remember
the Houston week? They probably thought,
once they won that one, they said, listen, this is predestined. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna be
You know why they won that game, honestly?
That was Thanksgiving weekend.
Because Trevor got pissed off.
Yeah.
And he played a hell of a game.
It was a great game.
Absolutely.
And so the question then becomes is how do you keep him at that pissed off level?
Yeah,
and then how does the rest of the team come to that level as well?
Listen, you play in the National Football League, and you could talk to this guy right here. You better be pissed off for every ball game because they're all the same. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. You better be ready to go.
Yeah.
And you better play full speed.
I love when Leon says that he convinced himself.
And one other thing, way I always love Leon because, you know, when he's, you know, old school right in there and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, I heard Bobby Knight one time made a comment. Somebody asked him about how come his teams were always, when he was at Indiana, they won every stinking year, right?
Right.
Right.
They said, why does your team win? Is it the will to win? He goes, well, the will to win is important, but the will to prepare is the key.
Yeah,
what they do during that week is what makes the difference on Sunday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How they prepare during that week is a factor on how they play on Sundays. What are you doing? Don't let you be the problem. Don't ever let you be the problem. You be the answer. And you know what this team needs to know how to do? They got to learn how to handle this team does not know handle success well. Right. Anytime somebody starts, you know, petting them and letting them know how good they feel, then that's when it starts all going to you know what.
Yeah, hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's like on the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You guys can jump in 641-1010. Yeah, everybody was standing around while the ship was sinking last year, and no one said STFU and do something. Okay,
you know,
that's what you needed to see happen from one of those guys.
You know, Dewey waving those flags, whatever they are, the towels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the terrible towels.
That. Is either one thing or another. Either you're way better than everybody else, or you think a lot more of yourself. One of the two. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Yeah. It could definitely happen that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's the lather.
Yeah.
For last year.
That's what happened.
They were feeling themselves. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the key to this year. I think that they know who they are now. They have to take leadership. They have to go in, and they have to know. It's got to be a learning experience. No question about it.
I remember I was with this team. I think it was 1998, right? And Tom Coughlin told us that he never read the papers. They listened to the media and all the other kind of stuff, whatever. So
he lied.
I know he lied. So I was asked a question. We were 5-0. We were 5-0 that year. I think it was 98 or 97. 98. We started the season off 5-0. And someone asked me about 5-0. I said, when's the last time a team – it went 5-0 and won the Super Bowl. And then TC came to the locker and said he read the newspaper, what I said, because that was my focus. My focus was the chip.
We haven't done anything.
We ain't done nothing.
We're not there.
I said, what team won the Super Bowl at 5-0? So my understanding of it was that this is a long season,
right?
Don't pull out the pom-poms too early.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sprain your wrist patting yourself on the back. You still got a long season ahead of you. But that was a keynote for that season is that, we started off the season good, but we got a long road ahead of us.
It's funny because you recognized it early in the season, 5-0, and then this team goes on a 5-game win streak. Then they get to 8-3. They hear the talk of number one seed. And so they probably said, put a stamp on it. It's done, and obviously it wasn't. you go to what Matt said earlier, what Trevor did in that Texans game, he nutted up, okay, because from the Thursday night game against the Saints, going on the road to the Steelers, then winning that football game after the bye, you thought this team had figured it all out.
And we all did, I mean, to a certain extent.
No, not only did they crown themselves, but the media was crowned them.
Absolutely.
They crowned, this Jaguar team, this team didn't handle that well. Down the stretch, when you're supposed to be playing your best ball in December, they absolutely.
And they didn't get that the year before, even though they were,
they were hungry.
When they were 9-8, they were hungry the whole time. They had to win every single game, and they got on a streak.
All right, here's another texter. Praise in public, punish in private. Punish uses a general term for the sake of the phrase. You don't call out guys publicly. And I do agree. Yeah. Most of the time, you can handle things inside. And I'll use – let's make this the 10-10 take, RJ, because this is one that really struck me that it could have gone in a bad way, but it didn't.
Now, Josie's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
It's getting close to 3. It's knocking off time before you know it, and it's dinner time before you know it. And if you don't want to have to worry about cooking, you ain't got a plan. Well, Sonny's has got the plan. They can take care of you. Just order and pick up. You can hit them on the way home. Enjoy any one of your area Sunnies with that great barbecue all over the First Coast. Remember Kadarius Toney not lining up at the line of scrimmage. And we all know what happened. Great play, called back, they lose the game, and Pat Mahomes could have been livid and lit his guy up, right? He could have said, we can't have that, the whole public call out my guy type of thing. Instead, what did he do? Absorbed it, kept it in-house. And then Kadarius Toney didn't necessarily make a play down the stretch. In fact, they didn't need him. He was phased out. But Pat Mahomes had a handle on that situation. And honestly, I don't know exactly what happened the inside Arrowhead Stadium, but I know that that team kept it together. That's the 10-10 take, because that's what you have to do as a football team, not let somebody like that, because Kadarius was in and out. Mind, play, all that stuff. He was in and out. And so Pat Mahomes says, I'm going to grab a hold of this situation. I'm not going to let him be our
problem. Right, but the problem is that they don't have enough of those guys in this team.
No, like that's Leon's, what we're starting to see if this
Leon's
can
team,
happen.
There's Leon, there's Bo, there's Wydell, there's Keenan, there's Jimmy, there's Brunell, there's Tommy McManus. There's guys that are just will grab you by the throat, not literally, if you're out there, relax, that will grab you by the throat and say, hey, man, what's the word you use all the time? Mm-hmm. This can't happen.
Yeah, it can't happen. This can't be allowed. We can't allow this to happen. Like I said, what happened to the Jaguars has never happened to me. I was either on a bad team that finished good or a good team that finished well. So them being a good team and then just falling apart, I've never experienced anything like that. That's why threw me a back.
Yeah.
But you had like 20-something guys in that locker room that were like that. How many do you think they have in the locker room right now that are like that?
I don't know. You know what? Leadership is self-made.
And now you
can't be given to you.
You're just now seeing 41 step up as a leader.
Yeah.
Josh Allen just got the big contract, but let's face it, up until this point, you really hadn't seen him in a leadership role. Foye stepping into a leadership role.
Yeah.
The Devons, the Ciscos, we're going to see if they can do it. And like we said, Trevor maybe needs to be a more vocal leader in the locker room, not outside, but in the locker room.
Yeah, Trayvon does too, man, to be honest.
Yeah.
Your first overall pick, you got to be that guy too.
I wasn't a vocal leader. I was a knock you on your ass leader.
Yeah, well, that's Trayvon could be that kind of
that's
guy.
A good quality,
that's what I'm
bro.
Saying.
That's a good quality.
Nothing wrong with that.
On that.
I'm hoping that Morse and guys like that add something to the table. Armstead,
Eric
guys
Armstead,
that have been
and Mitch
there.
Morse. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that there's some guys in there that are not going to just think they're leaders because they're old school. These guys have been winners. And they know what it takes to win.
Yeah, it shouldn't be lost on anybody that of the guys that they went and signed in free agency, the bulk of them came from winning teams, from playoff teams. Mm-hmm. And I got to believe that was by design, either by Doug and Trent or Balky alone. But when you go get Gabe Davis, playoff guy, Darnell Savage, playoff guy, Eric Armstead, Super Bowl guy,
Morse.
Mitch Morse, playoff guy, that's what you're trying to do. All right, Coach, on that note, playoff guy. We will turn you loose.
Well, thank you. It's fun as always.
Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Super Bowl guy.
Thanks, Dave.
Super Bowl guy.
Got
exactly.
One of mine. Got one of mine too. By the way.
By the way, we fired.
Yeah, but we got one together.
Yeah.
A national championship.
We did.
Yeah, that's true. The Natty could never take that away from those Canes. So long ago, though. All right, so we head into the 3 o'clock hour. Don't forget Campo and Joe. We fired up a Campo and Joe podcast, so you can go check it out. If you missed us on Facebook Live earlier, you can go anywhere on social and check out the 1010XL platform.
I just want to say, Joe,
uh-huh.
There's no expiration date on greatness.
Yeah, and you can never take that natty away, can you? Never, ever, ever.
Cruising with XL Prime Time in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Prime Time, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
3 o'clock hour is here. It is XL Prime Time. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, RJ Saunders. We appreciate you hanging out with us, that's for sure. Anywhere you go, we go. That's the beautiful thing about 1010XL, be it on the app, over the air, the stream, whatever it might be. You can find us on YouTube by searching 1010XL, and that way we can kind of hang out in the living room with you as well. Easy to do. We love it. Now, we come out of the 2 o'clock hour into the 3 o'clock hour, still talking about the Jags, and we need to set up a couple of things just as far as the firepower of this football team is concerned going forward. And then we got to sneak some college football in before this hour is done. I feel like we got to feed the college football fan at least a little afternoon snack every single day if we can. But here's one from the text line. Interesting take on XL Primetime about Dewey's snatching of the terrible towel. Here's another angle. We've been outnumbered in our stadium more times than I can count. I took Dewey's snatching of the terrible towel as an act of vengeance. It was a time that we felt we could run into someone's stadium and dominate. Although it was short-lived, it felt really damn good. Thanks for hearing me out, fellas. Steve-O from Orange Park. I love you, Tank. I'm not going to disagree with you and say that at that moment, that was – every Jaguar fan loved it. At that moment, especially going into hostile territory – that hostile territory when there's so many of them in so many places, and to be able to finally get over on them, oh, you better believe it. I totally get what you're saying. Coach just exited. He knows what it feels like to get over on them in their building in a playoff game, because that's what they did back in 05 and 07 when they had that run. It just backfired. And it's not even like we're getting on Dewey for doing that, because once they were eliminated from the playoffs, social media just went crazy. No, I love the idea that they're trying to, but it's finishing the job. I think that's probably what I'm pointing out more than anything else. To do that, you got to understand where the finish line is.
At that particular time, when you listen, first of all, I played for the Steelers and I played against the Steelers. I know how hard it is to play in that stadium.
Yeah.
All right. So what he did at that particular time, the way they dominated that game was fitting. You know, it was fitting at that particular time. But now that you look at it at, you know, 30,000 feet up high, you're looking at you know what I'm saying? From a normal view, you know, I celebrated it as well. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it now, with everything that happened to the Jaguars moving forward, you kind of ask yourself, was this team not locked in? Was this team, you know, patting itself on the head? Was this team crowning itself? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Was this team saying, "Okay, we've arrived, we've gotten there, we're there"? And that's that. You can never feel comfortable in this league. You've got to always stay on tilt, or the league if you don't stay on tilt, the league will expose you.
You know, honestly, I what happened last year might, in the long run, end up being the best thing for this franchise, because had they found a way to beat a terrible Titans team, you know, then you've got the Browns at home with 40-year-old Flacco. You can find a way to win that one too. Then you lose to the Ravens, and you think, "All right, well, we just got to find a way. We just got to find a way to get another home game." You wouldn't think that you are where you are, where they are now. You know what I mean? So maybe in the long run, this at least has shook them up a little bit, woke them up to the idea of, "Okay, we need to do more than what we think we need to do."
Yeah. Once again, at a certain altitude.
Look, the negative guy is looking, as you guys
know,
call
at
me,
a certain altitude.
Gran Torino just says he's looking for a silver lining.
At a certain altitude, that would be fitting, but there's no substituting playoff play. I mean, the only reason why we got good back when we played is that we that experience. And then we eventually say, you know what? This losing on the road sucks. We need to get a game at home. And then after we got a game at home, we say, you know what? let's make the road to the Super Bowl come through Jacksonville. So I'm saying every step was a process. And then when we got to the point where we was like, okay, we're the number one seed, come get it. Mm-hmm. We got it.
All right, so let me ask you this. Is it will they get to a point? And we mentioned the veterans just as we were wrapping up the 2 o'clock hour, that an Eric Armstead comes in. All the playoff guys that we mentioned, Gabe Davis, mm-hmm. Eric Armstead, even Darnell Savage, Mitch Morse, all of them, Devin Duvernay, all of them come in with a playoff resume. So how important it is, because I mentioned to you earlier, knowing mm-hmm. where the finish line is, how important is it to know that that's into January. It's not the end of November. Yeah. You got to be going into January knowing where the finish line is.
Yeah, it's good. And it's good that the Jaguars specifically went after guys who've got playoff experience, because it is a switch. There is an intensity that turns up. There is a preparation that turns up. All that stuff about the month near in November, there's a turn up. Whatever you thought you did at that particular moment is not good enough for December, late November and December football.
I mean, look at the free agent guys they brought in. Clearly, mm-hmm. by the guys, the experience of playoff, the guys that have been around the league, that know the league, that know what it takes to win in the league, mm-hmm. that know what it takes to win consistently in the league. Every one of those free agent signings were those guys.
Yeah.
Guys from teams that, you know, the Ravens, the Bills, the 49ers. Mm-hmm. You're adding guys that, in theory now, walk into the locker room and say, hey, it can't, like you say, we can't have this. It cannot mm-hmm. happen this way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you need those type of guys.
So clearly, they saw something.
Yeah.
Be it Trent Baalke, be it Doug Peterson, be it both of them, they saw something that was wrong in that last stretch of the games, and it was more than just what's on the field. There was something else not right with that team, and you've been saying all along you think it's the locker room.
Well, I mean, this team got manhandled down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah.
If you watch the
numbers,
games,
say
they got
so.
Up front, both sides of the ball, they got manhandled, you know, and you can't have that. I mean, the intensity of the game is amped up once you get into late November and December, and this team was ill prepared for that, and they showed it on the field.
One of our texters, if you recall, they text George Pickens had said that week leading up to the game, the Jaguars didn't have a good defense and had a hope defense. Cisco was out. Dewey had a pick, couple of big plays. So, no, yeah, like I said, at that moment, that was one of the cool. I'm telling you, I know all of Duval went nuts when they saw it. It was mm-hmm. a smash hit on social media. And at the time, it's just that our only message here is that you do that, you got to finish the job. It's just, I don't care what example we use. You start that, throw a match in there, you got to make sure you have the finish line intact. And in this case, they did.
And Joe, the preparation starts the week before the game. I mean, I always say that what kept me on my toes as a player mm-hmm. is that the Steeler defense, the Ravens defense, the Titans defense, you couldn't go in there slipping.
Yeah.
You couldn't go in there slipping. You're talking about you play them twice. You're talking about top 10 defenses that you play twice a year in your division.
Right.
I mean, so, and especially down the stretch, you know, the intensity ramps up. We had already prepared ourselves to have a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
When we played the Steelers down in December, fist fight. Ravens, fist fight. Tight. We had already prepared that. You know how we prepared that? In practice. We knew in practice that it had, you had to damn near bludgeon somebody in practice. It was, you had to bring it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the mentality that you have to have down the stretch. You know, you can't come in there, you know, with this softball play.
Yeah,
you know, disrespect the softball.
Yeah. But just think about how low that this team was last year by the last game of the season. You know, we had Blaine Bishop on our show every week when it's Titans week. And Blaine was telling us that their offensive line is so bad that four of the five guys probably shouldn't even be playing in the NFL. That's how bad they were. And he said this should literally just be a rout. This is a 20-point win for the Jaguars. And they weren't even close. Mm-mm. They were never in the game.
Never. None of the game.
They got dominated.
Bro, they already packed their bags for Cabo. The whole team, bro. With everything on the line, with a team that as bad as the Titans were, one game you in. I was liable even questioning the fact that they won't even make the playoffs.
Well, technically, we're already in the playoffs for that game, basically,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but if they lost, playoff, they, yeah.
That's a de facto entry.
When you're in.
Yeah, when you're in.
Yeah. All right, what could have been? What could have been? All right, we'll go back down memory lane. I got one point that I want to make with the memory lane and with the firepower that this football team has coming up. Got to work some college ball in, like we said. College football fans, you're out there. You want it, especially after the transfer portal. Some rankings coming out of the end of April into May that are worth tossing out because these teams are changing. It's not like you can look at your team after – what, first Wednesday in February and know what the recruiting class looks like and know what your spring looks like. You don't know what your football team looks like anymore. These days, it is ever changing. So we'll do that coming up. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota, it is XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Retrieved by Edwards. Gordon is on him. Shot clock at 7. He'll dance. Great cut over. And a shot. Good. What a play.
Anthony getting to his office. About to go to work.
Bumping, shoving, spinning, firing. Double. Got it.
Told him to get out. Let me get my space. I know I work 9 to 5, but I work nights too.
Look at this. Here we go again.
With another turnover. Edwards the other way. It is amazing. With the points off turnover totals look like tonight. Edwards will try it and smash to the rack.
What'd you say, Rand? Just slither?
Look at that.
That was a hot knife through butter.
If I do something nice, I'm going, I got to let it be known. If I get an N1, I got to flex, make somebody fall. I'm going to point at them. And it brings excitement to the game. So hopefully someone tries to, like, come back and score on me or something like that. So that's why I do it.
Oh, he lit it up last night, that's for sure. Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves up 2-0 against the defending champs. It is something to see. He's one of the premier players in the game. Who lit it up? Thanks to American Electrical, powered by professionalism, and you definitely want to light up your world with all that they have technology-wise. You can do it. Log on to American-Electrical.com. They probably got 1010XL right now in the warehouse and on the trucks. We appreciate it. That's for sure. All right, so the X poll, pay it off. I'm pretty sure this is a no-brainer, RJ, based on what people had to say earlier, either via the text line or the My Bookie Digital Studios.
Absolutely. Our XL Primetime X poll question brought to you by Beaver Toyota, Beaver Chevrolet. Should Jamal Murray be suspended for tossing the heating pad onto the court? And by a landslide, 76% of the votes say yes, he should be suspended.
All right, real easy. Go to X at 1010XL, and you can throw a comment on there, too, if you want. There were definitely some earlier just basically even asking for the coach and the player to be suspended. But, look, he'll try and defend himself and say, out of anger, he tossed it. He didn't want to hit the fans in front of him. Therefore, he tossed it over their head, closer to the court, closer to the official. It's a bunch of BS. Yeah, you got to rein that in. There's no doubt about it. All right, before we get back to the Jags, we mentioned college football because coming out of the month of April – You had all your spring games, and you're thinking, okay, I got a feel for what my team looks like. No, you don't, because players up and leave. They either get kind of tossed to the side depth chart wise and decide to leave, or they lose a battle and they're not happy, or come up with all sorts of reasons as to why they decide to do it. But we know this much: player movement is alive and well in the college football world all the way up until they close it off at the beginning of May. So. This is just one guy's opinion. Joel Klatt put his top 25 out there after the spring cycle. Ohio State, number one. Georgia, number two. Texas, how about what Sark's doing down there? From the college football playoff to the number three preseason ranking. Oregon, number four. This one is a little bit of a surprise, but maybe not to all. Number five, according to Klatt, Ole Miss. Hottie toddy. You agree with that? Hottie toddy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with it. I mean,
they're going to be that good, bro?
Yeah, they're playoff good. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but playoff good is top 12. This is top 5.
Yeah, I think they're top 5.
They got a lot of good coming back. Lane Kiffin has learned how to work the portal. The state of Mississippi's paying him to do so.
So they've got a 3-year start at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
really good player, fun to watch. Jackson Dart coming back.
Yeah, I think what they've done in the portal, how he supplemented the defense. They've got three legit NFL receivers on that team, including Trey Harris, who's just an absolute stud. they're going to score points. They're going to score a lot of points. They've got an experienced offensive line. Mm-hmm. They're better off the edge on defense this year. They're better in the secondary because of transfer portal additions. They're going to be a very good team. Very good team.
Mm-hmm. Contender?
Yeah.
National championship contender?
Why not?
Why not?
That's the way I'm looking at it. Why not?
Okay.
I think in this, and I've been trying to say this too now forever, is it's more than just going from four teams to 12 teams. You're adding extra games into the equation, which means the potential for someone to get hurt, which means the potential for someone to at some point get a little too high and, what do you say, smell themselves.
Yeah, feeling themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of dynamics now that enter this new 12-team playoff. So I think there's a lot more to deal with than to just say, oh, it's still going to be Georgia and Ohio State. No.
I think the possibilities are endless. This is what I do love about the 12-team playoff is that you might see a team pick off another team. We know that depth and talent usually rises to the top. It's been proven over and over and over in the college football game because the deeper the rosters, which is usually the Georgias, the Bamas, the Buckeyes, we know who they are. But now if you are able to – use that portal, and it doesn't mean you have to build through recruiting. You can get good on an annual basis. Just see what Florida State did over the with the transfer portal hauls that they had the last couple of seasons. They built it up to where they had a perfect season rolling into that Jordan Travis injury, which was terrible, but we all know that's what held them back. Ole Miss has got a lot of players coming back. They have used the NIL. The Utes are next. They're sixth. And they don't even really know for sure 100% who's going to be quarterbacking them.
Oh,
but
yeah, that's Cam.
Well, they hope, but they don't know. I mean, this guy's
come on, he's
still
helping.
That was a significant injury. I like Cam Rising. I'm rooting for him. That's who they're relying on. But they don't know 100% how healthy he's going to be. Alabama, they've got Jalen Milroe coming back. They've got a brand-new head coach. They're seventh. Wolverines, the eighth best as far as the post-spring top 25. Then the Nittany Lions. Then Missouri. We had Eli Drinkwitz on our show talking about one of the Jaguar draft picks, and we asked him about the college football playoff, and heck, his quote after beating the Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl was legendary. And so they're eighth. Then you go the next five. Excuse me, I take that back. Missouri's 10th. After that, the next five: Notre Dame, FSU, Clemson, LSU, Southern Cal.
So. Look at Ole Miss's wide receivers, okay? Trey Harris, who was all SEC last year. Juice Wells, who former South Carolina receiver who got hurt game one last year, the year before all SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Watkins, a terrific receiver. And then you've got Jackson Dart, a three-year starter, proven he can win in this league. They're going to score, and they're going to score a ton. They lost. Clearly, they lost Judkins, which is to Ohio State, which is clearly a
big-time runner.
A tough loss. They picked up Logan Diggs from LSU. Terrific player. So he's their running back now, along with Ulysses Bentley. They're going to score a ton of points. They're better off the edge. They got Princey Umamielen from Florida. Just one of the different guys. They got Walter Nolan, the number one player in the entire portal, the kid from Texas A&M, the defensive tackle on the interior on defense. They're going to be much better.
I do love the number one in the portal, and somehow or another he didn't shine as much as –
No, he was second team all SEC last year.
Yeah, he was okay.
Come on. What do you mean he was okay?
Yeah. But anyway, he left because Jimbo left. I'm not trying to throw darts at Ole Miss at all. I love Hotty Toddy. I know you're probably a little more in love with them, locked in on them, but the beautiful thing about it is with the 12-team playoff, we just went 15 deep and they all have possibilities. The next row, the next five, they're definitely going to be in the conversation too. This is where the U comes up. Tennessee is 16th. This is the way too early post-spring top 25. Oklahoma is next, then the Miami Hurricanes. They are right now 18th.
So let's just put it this way. You've named 18 teams, and all 18 teams, I can tell you, I would not be shocked in the least if they were in the playoff.
I agree.
And it goes deeper than that. It goes much deeper than
that. Well, after that, you go Oak State, Northwestern, Arizona, Nebraska.
Northwestern?
This is just class.
That's just stupid.
Stuff. You can – hey, listen, I'm pretty sure you can have your own. You will have your own on Saturday down south when it's all said and done. Who would you put
– I wouldn't put Northwestern at 18, I can tell you that.
I take it back. This is me being a knucklehead. I looked at it real quick My screen had to refresh. I'd like to apologize. I'll take back the Wildcat and I'll put Kansas State up there instead of Northwestern. Okay. I just got high just for a second.
Would not be surprised either if I saw K-State in there. Not at all.
Yeah, and Kansas State lost their quarterback to go up to Ohio State.
Well,
but,
they didn't lose their quarterback. He was not going to be their starter. Avery Johnson's their starter.
I know, but he was pretty dang good last year, was he not?
He was good the year before Will Howard.
All right.
Last year was pretty good. Avery Johnson is a dude. Wait to see that guy.
Yeah.
That's a player. That's a ball player.
And all I'm saying is that they lost an experienced guy playing a very important position.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. And who knows how he'll be up in Columbus. But anyway, he's left. So anyway, Kansas State is next. Then Arizona. That's the Jed Fish-led Arizona team that – is a nice story.
No longer with Jed Fish.
Yeah.
Because he's in Washington.
Yeah.
So it's new coach.
Jed Fish led. I mean, that was the one that
they've lost some players. So I would be surprised by that one. I would be surprised if they got to the playoff.
Yeah.
Just because it's new coach, transition.
And again, this is right now. That's the 20th team.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. And I don't see Washington anywhere listed right now because of all the players that they had drafted. Kalen DeBoer leaving. Jed Fish just coming in. So they got Arizona just outside the top 20, Nebraska, Kansas.
Nebraska at 21?
That's what they got.
Holy
22.
Cow.
No, 22. And then Kansas.
Mm.
There's still no Florida Gator being mentioned anywhere.
Jalen Daniels is healthy. Kansas is going to win some games, man.
Yeah. They were fun to watch last year. I like their head coach a
bunch.
Did
they beat Oklahoma last year?
Oh, they did.
I remember that.
A&M among the top 25.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Connor, we're going to be healthy. There's a lot. I'm telling you, it's going to be this season, there's a lot more intrigue. And this is what, you know, people are saying, well, if you expand the playoff, then there's going to be no more of the one-and-done philosophy of college football. No, you're adding even more excitement to it because there's more spots to get into the playoff. There's more intrigue in those November games because there's more of those November games to remember happening. Instead of having just three or four of them, you're going to have 8, 9, 10 of them.
Yeah, where you feel like it's a wrap,
basically.
Yeah. And that's the part I think is going to change the landscape so dramatically. What do you think about Miami top 20 there, sirs? Top 20, my man.
You're still with your face to the window right now?
I am. I'm still window shopping. I'm not going in to buy a store. But, hey, listen, their schedule is set up. Their first six games, you know. Their first six games, I mean, Florida, FAMU.
At Florida,
FAMU.
Ball State at home. State. At South Florida. Virginia Tech at home. At Cal.
Mm-hmm.
At Louisville. I still haven't seen a loss yet.
Well, yeah, Florida Louisville will be tough, but they should win that one.
Ooh, come on, man.
Well, we lost them last year. Didn't we lose them last year? It was a night game.
Did you?
Was it Louisville? I don't know. Louisville. Yeah, we did. We lost to Louisville at home. Last game of the season, we lost to Louisville at home. Yeah,
and that's when I thought they were going to go into that championship game and put up a fight because all of a sudden I was all in the Jake Plummer.
Jack Plummer sweepstakes. In theory, if they beat Florida, that's 1-0. Then you got A&M 2-0, Ball State 3-0, South Florida 4-0, Virginia Tech at home 5-0.
Yeah, they could jet out to a –
at Cal 6-0, at Louisville 7-0. Then you got Florida State at home.
8-0.
Duke at home.
Duke, Manny Diaz, Duke will be pretty tough.
You're going to go 9-0, though?
9-0.
Let me tell you something.
At Georgia Tech. Hang on, Joe.
That'll be tough.
Is that going to be your first loss, 9-1?
We'll lose to them again. Some
all right, Wake Forest at home.
We'll be.
That's 10-1. Then at Syracuse.
11-1.
So you got 11-1 going to playoff. 11-1, you will be a solid.
And then we got.
If you win the ACC, you'll be a solid six seed.
11-1, that means we'll play Clemson. What? Clemson in the ACC championship game?
Yeah, because it'll be the two best records.
Yeah, two best records. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say you got an easy win over Florida State and then pause against Duke. You can't do that.
You're right.
Totally pause, Duke.
I'll always say we got a good win.
Duke doesn't have Riley Leonard anymore.
Don't have Riley Leonard. Yeah, but Duke. I don't know what world I live in where Duke at home scares me.
Well, it suddenly has become that world.
It has been.
It's like
I'm in an alternate universe.
We'll get back to your Jags before we are done. A couple of comments off the text line that we got to deal with as far as the Jags are concerned, and then also from the MyBookie Digital Studios. But real quick on college before we wrap this one up, Derek from Indiana. I'm not even a Nebraska fan, but a lot of people sleeping on them this year. That defense had plenty of talent, and offense has some pieces that they hopefully have, and now they hopefully have the quarterback, and that's it right
he's,
there. It's Dylan Raiola.
He's 100% right. That defense is very good, but yeah. It's Dylan Raiola. It's a true freshman.
Raiola is the guy that was a former Georgia commit and then ultimately goes to Nebraska, legacy guy out there with Dad Dominic. And so anyway, Matt Rhule does have a chance to see if he can just all of a sudden put them back in the conversation because that's what he was brought in to do. And that's what Scott Frost was brought in to do, and it didn't work. And then they go ahead and they get the next guy in. But getting Raiola, huge, huge for Nebraska. All right, you guys can still chime in on that. YouTube, text line, social, whatever. Then we'll get back to your Jags. A couple thoughts as far as what they need to do and with our discussion today as far as that leadership quality that you hope starts to ring true through the offseason and into the regular season. Beaver Chevy, Beaver Toyota bringing you today's show. Don't forget, Beaver delivers. They are there to wow you. They got a great lineup of rides on both lots, BeaverChevrolet.com, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com. It is XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
One thing I love about Leon, and there's a thousand things that I do, but one that is absolutely 100% certain, he's 100% Kane. He wears the U proudly, and he went with the dub against FSU that took him to what? What was the record at that point?
7-1.
7-0
going in that Florida State game, then 8-0. Then I said Duke, and he was kind of hesitant.
Okay, so 8-0. So Lee, this is all. You know,
the only loss, by the way, is at Georgia Tech.
These are just flying in. Leon's crazy. FSU going to curb stomp the Canes. Man, you are jinxing so hard on that game, Leon. Can't wait. Can't wait to see how that game turns out. You don't need any extra voodoo from Mike and the Dina. Let's see here. Another one.
Curb stomp. Have these guys watched DJ Uiagalelei?
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me, that's why he's fired up. Another one. Hope your Canes can score more than 3 points and make it a game, Mr. Searcy. 6-70 the last 2 years.
You going to take this, man?
I don't know if that's the correct math or not. But.
Are you still pushing face up against the window waiting?
Listen, when it comes to Seminole fans, man, I just remain silent because I know my record against them. So I no need for me to brag. You know, I know you say that's a long time, man. Like I said, no expiration date on greatness.
Yeah.
I owned y'all. I was your daddy. All right? So I'll always remember that.
Oh, it's
coming
beautiful.
Me sideways.
But I do got to ask the question that Matt asked. Is this DJU generated? In other words, when you saw DJU at the spring game, did it make you that much more certain?
I was celebrating inside. I was clapping inside.
So in other words, like a Cam Ward plus sign, DJU minus sign, both of them, the combo got you even more.
Yeah, yeah. You're listen, I'm admitting it a little bit. We finally got us a quarterback. We
he
got
looks
us a legit
good,
quarterback. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we got a stellar front too. Getting that kid from Michigan State.
Yeah.
A D tackle.
Yeah.
I watched some film of him, bro. He's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Reuben Blaine, Bane Jr.
Bane Jr.
I saw him doing some old school workout. I seen him doing some old school workout at his old high school. I'm telling you, that kid he's going to be special.
It's going to be a big year for him. You know why? This is typically what it is. You get that freshman where you're like, whoa. And then the second year when everything clicks,
it's
going to be a big year. And then the third year is going to be like a little bit less of that, but he's still going to get him into the top 10 in the draft. But that second year, it's going to be like the Will – not as good as the Will Anderson crazy second year, but like that. He will have a big jump this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I wanted to get a couple of texts and comments about the Jags before we're done. But one thing that we can just kind of put a bow on this as far as the post-spring top 25, and trust us, people, this is real. When like, I don't know whether the rankings are going to add up to that, but a post-spring look at these teams
–
is real because of how the teams have changed. Even Florida, Florida State, and Miami, after their spring games, added players, lost players, and there's just this ever-changing look. Now, the one thing that Matt brought up in the break, first off, Florida's nowhere near this post-spring top 25, yet Miami is, okay? And is the main reason that they have the excitement around Cam Ward? Yeah, maybe. That has something to do with it. Then the other guys, they were able to haul in the portal because the record for Miami last year, the record for Florida, neither one of them was good, all right? And so you got to get to a point where, okay, who's doing what to be back in the conversation? And you just went through the schedule. Schedule has a heck of a lot to do with it, does it not?
Sure. It's a very fortunate schedule for them.
A mighty, mighty say in who's going to be able to be in the conversation or be in the college football playoff.
I mean, to be fair, Florida State's schedule also is – I mean, they got to go on the road in Notre Dame, which will be a tough one.
Yeah.
You look at the rest of that schedule, it's doable. You're kind of like, well, it's Georgia Tech, and I think it's in Atlanta, right? No, it's in Ireland. What am I saying? Georgia Tech in Ireland. And you got Boston College at home, Memphis at home, Cal at home, at SMU. I mean, so right now you're 5-0, even with DJU.
You got them beating Eric Dickerson and Craig James.
I do.
Is that what you're saying?
I do.
All right.
You got Clemson at home.
Okay, I'm surprised.
And you don't know with Clemson, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's at home.
Yeah.
Let's just say we give them that, okay? So then that's what, 6? Yeah, 6-0. At Duke, which is Leon, of course, that's his danger game.
Hey,
we'll just give them that. We'll make them 7-0. And then in Miami, they're going to 2-7-0 teams right there, man.
Oh, my gosh. Two top 10 teams.
That's what I want.
I mean, if we're talking about 50-50 games, wins and losses in 50-50 games, which we're going to do with the Jags, by the way, if not later this week, next week, we're definitely doing that. You're going to give you the wins we think they're going to have, the losses we think they're going to have in the 50-50 games. And so far, it's been a lot of dubs, and the 50-50 games are Clemson, Miami, North Carolina home. I think that's a dub.
I agree.
I think that's a dub. Notre Dame on the road is a 50-50, and then that's it. So they got 3 50-50 games.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
Even with DJU.
They're going to be good.
Their schedule is very fortunate.
Yeah. And our 50-50 games are Florida and
you're damn right.
Florida State, all jokes aside, Florida State, Florida, and
Duke, according to you.
No, I'm not going with Duke. I'm just joking with Duke. there'll be some game that Miami.
Well, that's it. Maybe Louisville. Yes,
maybe Louisville, yeah.
I wouldn't do the Louisville.
I think we made the point last week, the teams you avoid, you avoid quite a few in the ACC, just the way the schedule stacks up.
And believe me, it's not just like, I'm saying DJU and making fun of that and Leon and the easy schedule. Look, there's all three teams have issues in this state, which is just crazy how three teams in this state with all this high school talent have issues. It shouldn't be that way.
No.
I was telling Joe, I was just on the verge of starting to say, I think Florida might win 7 or 8 games. And then the Florida spring game was on last night while I was working. I'm turning around and start watching it. And, I don't know, man.
You didn't go.
No. It's just, you know what scares me more than anything is their size and the lines of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this all the time. You go to the national championship game. You cover the national championship game, the game's over, the stage comes out, you're on the field, and you look up at the team on the stage, and they're just grown men.
Yeah.
Big dudes. They're not just 300 pounds, but they're big dudes.
And they're 300 pounders that are athletic.
Yes. So I'm looking at that Florida line of scrimmage on both sides, and I'm thinking, these are not big dudes. These are not big guys.
And so
I think is the biggest problem for them, honestly. And it's been the biggest problem for the last 3 years, two previous seasons, I should say, is their lines of scrimmage are just not that good. They're not athletic and they're not big.
You can't have a guy last name Savage running your weight room and still look small. You just can't. And so that, it's all gone through change in Gainesville.
Right, whereas the Noles, by the way, the last 2 years, big dudes.
They've gotten bigger.
Big dudes in the line of scrimmage,
I'll agree with you on that one very simple fact that you can look at it on the hoof, as they like to say.
Yeah.
You can look at them and you're like, 3 years ago, that's what I would have said about FSU. Year after that, still a little bit, but getting better. Year after that,
well, remember 3 years ago, you came in and said, bro, they look like a high school line out there,
they
FSU,
and
when they were at UNF, remember?
Yeah, and so every year I kind of use that as my litmus test, and, obviously seeing the team. But Billy said during this offseason that they've gotten stronger, they've gotten in the weight room, they've done a lot. So we're going to find out. Again, this is just Matt looking at it.
Yeah.
So it's not saying it's a
guarantee. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm not. And I told you, I'm kind of leaning toward they're going to win more games than many people think. But then I saw those. Man, I took another look at those lines of scrimmage, JoJo, and it's just – and I thought I'm thinking, maybe it's just me. So I text Dennis Dodd, and I'm like, Dennis, put this – put ESPN2 on. And I said, do they look like small to you? And his response was, wow.
Then I got all bowed up at that point. We're going to have to carry this over to tomorrow, and we will do that, and we'll get back to the discussion about the Jags, the talent pool that they've got versus the rest of the AFC. We are done, though, thanks to Beaver Chevy and Beaver Toyota. You won't go wrong. They are there to wow you because price is price and service is the extra part of it that you make sure you get when you make a car deal. So check out BeaverChevrolet.com, BeaverToyotaSt.Augustine.com. They will definitely take care of you. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sarson, and RJ. You got the Francis Show coming up next.
I'm a bleeping peanut monkey. All my friends are junkies.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.